I'm sure that you've heard this, the phrase dating just to be dating. That's for the folks who are looking for relationships without first having a plan. Now, most guys have a plan when they ask a woman out, they plan to have sex with her. But for those who want more, you need to have a strategy in mind, one that will allow you to establish a foundation for a long-term relationship and build upon it. That's what we'll get into in this fourth and last installment of Back to Basics Dating Topics here on the Talk to Q Radio Show. This is Dating 401. Have a plan. Buckle up.
T2Q Radio.
Hey, what up, Q? What up, Radio World?
What's going on, people? I want to welcome all of you to the Talk to Q Radio Show. My name is Quincy, and this is my show. And I'm coming to you live from the south side of the T2Q Man Cave. It is Tuesday, February the 8th, and this is episode number 981. Please be sure to like, share, and subscribe to this show. Doing that will help expose me to more people on YouTube, Apple, and Spotify, and more places. So please take a second to do one, if not all three of those things, okay? I'm trying to get to 250 subscribers on YouTube, so help a brother out. And don't forget that those who participate live from the chat room will be eligible to win a Cash App prize towards the end of the show simply by commenting. But you must be present to win. Let me go to the T2Q virtual phone lines and see who will be joining the mix this evening. Let me start here, the Show Me State of Missouri. And welcome back, Chandra. Chandra, what's going on?
I said, hey, Q, not much. You know, it's interesting because I'm not originally from the Show Me State, but that has definitely always been my motto. You got to show me, you know, so definitely appreciate it. You know.
Okay, okay. Where are you from originally?
Michigan, actually. I'm originally from Michigan.
Okay, yeah. Okay. The Wolverine State.
Yes. Yes.
All right, all right. Well, welcome back. And let's see. I got a show legend I got to bring on. You know, the show legends are special. They get the big introduction and all. Not that you're not special, but show
legends. I'm working on being a legend. I'm working on it.
I feel you. You're doing your thing. From the 850 area code, the Emerald Coastline of Pensacola, Florida, making his way to the ring, the man in black, the Buckster. What's going on, Buck?
How's everybody doing this evening?
Doing well, man. How's it going with you?
Going good. I was actually born in the Show Me State, but I was raised in Mississippi, so.
Oh, there you go. There it is. We got this 6 degrees of separation or whatever you call it. So.
Hey.
That's what's up. All right. I am now going to go to the Peach State of Georgia and welcome this young lady on for her first time. What's going on, T? Welcome to the show.
Hi.
How are you doing?
I'm good. I am currently in Georgia, but I got to put on for the West Coast. I'm actually from California, so.
Okay. California. No doubt about it.
All right.
And we're going to have a packed house tonight. This gentleman just popped in from the land of Lincoln. I'll bring on the homie Seth. Seth, what's going on, man?
What's up, man? How you feeling?
Oh, man, if I were any better, it'd be two of me.
Right
on. I don't think the world is ready for that.
Right on.
So, okay, and I have a couple of more. Like one is having some technical difficulties. I will save her for last. And I actually have another show legend who has not been in a minute. I mean, it's been months since this dude been on. So let me bring this gentleman in the mix. From the 601 area code, the Magnolia State of Mississippi, he plays a doctor on the radio. Please welcome Dr. Willis to the Talk to Q Radio Show. What's happening?
What's going on, everybody?
Doc,
what is
it,
man? Man, it's been What's up?
The doctor's in the house tonight.
That's right.
All right. And the last person will be who's currently residing in the Lone Star State of Texas. Now, welcome on Carrie, the camouflage beauty. Carrie, what's going on?
Q, I am still having mic issues over here. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Hey, y'all. Nice. I'm here.
There she goes. All right. So we will go ahead and kick things off. Got people already in the chat room. Hello to Alana and Florida, Nikki in Mississippi, Quaylen in Georgia, Mr. Shelton in Mississippi. And we'll go ahead and make it do what it do. And okay, so the first plan a person has to figure out in order to date someone is, okay, where do I meet people? You know, where do I meet that next significant other? Where do I go and have a better chance of finding the right dating pool I'm looking for? Because, you know, a lot of people always say the dating pool got pee in it. You got to go somewhere where there's chlorine, okay? So, ladies, let me start with you, and this is for whichever lady wants to chime in first. Ladies, outside of online dating, where's a good place to meet decent men? And when I say decent, I mean someone that you would actually attach yourself to in a relationship.
I can jump in. I literally moved across the country to meet mine. So I think I could relate to the dating pool having some pee in it, because back in the environment that I grew up in, California, there weren't many eligible bachelors, even though I hate to use that term, but really there weren't a whole lot of people that were, one, on my level, two, shared similar interests, and three, interested in me.
that's important too.
That was, I'd be lying if I said that increasing my chances of finding my person wasn't a very, very large motivator for why I moved to Georgia. So,
okay. You think California, as big as it is, would have options, but maybe that's not the case.
You would think.
Chandra, Carrie, what do you all think is a good place for women to meet men?
So, I mean, so a lot of people are against work. Right. I'm not saying necessarily date somebody in your office, but I think that's a good place to start. Right. You know, they're employed. you kind of know what they do. Hopefully, you have a good job. And so they have a good job as well. But honestly, you can meet people anywhere. I don't take anything off the list. You know, family members are always going to try to hook you up with somebody. I know a lot of people are against the bars and the clubs and stuff like that, but you never know. I try to keep an open mind about it.
Okay. All right. Well, I will say this. The one place you do not want to meet a significant other, never try to pick up on anybody at a family reunion. All right. All right. So, fellas, outside of online dating, where's a good place to meet decent women? I mean, someone you'll, you know, take home to big mama. Seth, I'll start with you.
Where have I? Oh boy. You know what? I don't know, man. It's so strange these days. You dig what I'm saying? It seems like humans aren't made the same anymore. So I would say a good place that you can't go wrong, but you have to wait, you know, kind of wait and see what they get. Grocery store. You understand? Okay. Grocery store, because you can walk past them. You can kind of see how they walk. You can see what they pick up. You can see what they don't pick up. You know what I mean? So I would say that.
All right. That's not a bad spot, because if she's buying hot dogs and noodles and
oodles and noodles.
Yeah. And some of the cheap knockoff Kool-Aid packages. And right. Maybe she ain't ready for a relationship. I don't know. I ain't trying to judge. But Buck, what were you getting ready to say, man? What do you think is a good place for a guy to meet a decent woman?
I mean, it just really depends. I mean, anywhere really. You just have to weed out, you know, weed out the ones that, you know, you shouldn't be talking to. But I mean, I've been successful. It could be grocery store, it could be nightclub, it could be a restaurant. It doesn't matter. You know, it just really depends on, you know, what you're looking for. But, you know, you just got to be careful about what you're doing, you know, because, you know, one thing I always say is you have to have a standard before you even start looking. There has to be, you know, you know, I don't want to put anything out there that, you know, may, I would just say there needs to be somebody that's unique, somebody that's different, not like all the others, so to speak. That's what I kind of look for. So, you know, everybody has their own style and taste. So, you know what you're looking for. You need to know that first before you go anywhere searching.
Okay. All right. So, let me ask this now. This is back to the ladies. You meet a guy somewhere and you're feeling each other. Okay. I mean, you're digging each other. He asks to take you out and you say yes. Now, this is not a meet and greet. This is an actual first date. And Chandra, I'm going to start with you on this. As far as location goes, should the man plan the date? Should the woman make the decision on where to go? Or should the decision be made together?
Again, I'm going to say this by saying I'm old school. So for me, if you ask me out on a date, my expectation is that you're planning that. So for me, I would expect, you're asking me, you already kind of have in mind where you would like to go. Now, if you ask me, where would I like to go? Then I can, you know, make suggestions and things of that nature. But
okay, I would expect balls in his court. All right. T, how do you feel? Do you think that the man should make the date, or should you do it together, or should the woman make the decision?
I'm never going to be the person to say that anything belongs solely to male or female, woman or man, whatever. I think, though, the more important piece is, like, whatever the circumstances kind of can set the tone for how you move forward. So, like, whatever their standard is, if they're like, I'm asking you out, but because it's about you, I want you to be the one to decide what you want to do, what you want while we're there, how the date goes, then let that be known. And then now I know, like, that's the expectation for our dates. And that could even open the door for a conversation. Is this how, you know, if we go on future dates, do you feel the same way? Whereas, like, some people are like, I'm asking you out, so I'm going to choose what we're doing. I'm going to choose what's going to happen while we're there. And again, just let that be known. So I don't think it's anybody's responsibility per se. I think, though, however it plays out should be a conversation about, like, if that's now the expectation, is that the standard?
All right. And in the chat room, Nikki in Mississippi said, it depends. If he asks me, he wants to show me around. But Carrie, I'll let you break the tie. Chandra says he has to do it. T says it doesn't matter to her. What do you think?
So, I mean, it doesn't matter to me either, right? But I feel like if you're asking, you should at least have some type of a plan. Don't ask me and then say, hey, but what do you want to do? You know, at least come to the table with a conversation, right? Say, hey, I want to go seafood. Are you allergic to seafood? And, like, you know, like T says, it starts a conversation for future planning or future dates or whatever. But don't leave it solely on me. And if I ask, and then I'm going to do the same for you, I think. But I ain't asking, so.
All right. So, all right. So, Dr. Willis, if it's someone that you really like, you know, I mean, you know, I think some people, you know, they feel like if you're going to go out on a date, you have to entertain them for an extended period of time. I don't feel like that's the case. Maybe it should be an hour or two. I don't know. If it goes longer, then, you know, I guess it's not necessarily a bad thing. But how far as the first date, should it be planned in advance? So in other words, if you ask her out on a Monday, Dr. Willis, at what point do you actually have the date?
I think that'll come with talking to her, you know what I mean? Like the ladies, you know, say you want to, you know, if you're asking them out, your goal is to impress the women, you know what I'm saying? Or, you know what I'm saying? You want to make sure they have a good time. And most of the time, you know, we try to take the lead and plan things, but it can go wrong, especially if you're doing stuff that they don't like, or, like, you know, the young lady said, if she's allergic to somewhere you're taking her. So I think in this regard, you want to do the same thing. You want to solicit information. You don't have to come outright and say, hey, look, you know, how far in advance you want to go out on a date. But you can intertwine that in the conversation, and you can pick up on it. You know, like, say if I'm interested in the young lady and say, hey, look, you know, I want to take you out. But, you know, how's Friday? You know what I'm saying? It may be Monday, you know. So I can solicit information that way. without really having to come out and say, hey, how far down the road, are we okay to go dating? So I think that all can be uncovered through conversation. Okay. And same with, like I said, where you go, what you do, talk and ask those questions, because you want to impress her. You want to make sure that she have a good time if you're the one that's asking, and hopefully vice versa. But, you can uncover that through talk.
Okay. And Seth, what do you think, man? Is there a certain time frame from the moment you ask her out and she says yes to when you actually go out on a date?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think you, just like she, will know if the chemistry is right. You get what I'm saying? I think we convolute things by waiting or beating around the bush. You dig? I think that it all depends. If you're grown, if you know who you are, and an individual is attracted to the fact that you know who you are, and you're attracted to them knowing who they are, hey, listen, look, let's just go and, let's take a walk, let's have a conversation, let's do this. I think when you put too much thought into things, then your expectations are higher than reality, and then you don't get what you were quote unquote looking for. If it's, in my opinion, as long as it's natural and it's cool and everything is organic, it's no problem. Me personally, that's what I think.
Okay.
I guess I'm confused.
Uh-huh, go ahead.
Because you said it's not a meet and greet. See, which led me to believe that we've been talking, or that we've been on a level of getting to know each other. So there's implied that, we've had the kind of conversations, like I noticed in the chat, she's like, I'm not going out past 9. So if it's a meet and greet, then, some of those things are spontaneous and you do that. But when you move to, I want to take you out, that implies, one, that we've had some conversations about the kind of foods I like, the kind of things I like to do, and you like to do, and I like to do, and we've talked about what we have in common, and there's a plan being made based off of what we've shared. Now, if we don't know each other and this is a getting to know each other kind of date, then yeah, it's kind of, let's see where it goes, or what the day may take us, let's go for a walk, let's go out for coffee. But that implies a meet and greet to me, not a date. Like a date is, hey, yeah, like I know you on some level, we've been talking, we've seen each other either at work, whatever. And then, and if it's not like that, and this is your first time ever meeting and going on a date with that person, then you also get an idea, if whoever asks, where they're coming from, I guess. Okay. Like how much thought they put into it or didn't put into it. You know what I'm saying? Like, even if they don't ask you any questions about what you like and what you don't like, that all of those things, reveals information for you, whether it's through another conversation or, whether or not this is what you want to, if this is somebody you want to go out on a date again. So I'm just trying to clarify, are we talking about like people you've been talking to, or just like I've met you one day and then the next day you asking me on a date?
Okay. And you're right. I assume, and maybe I shouldn't assume, that when people ask someone out on a date, they have had some kind of conversation on some level. But today, I don't know. Maybe it's not like that today. I'm not sure. I'm kind of
See, that's what I'm saying. People are out of old school. So I want to be clear. Yeah. Because I know some people, they meet and boom, they spending the night and moving in. But
I think it's not necessarily gears on that one. I think he when he asked me that question, he had switched gears from the part where he said, that it's not a meet and greet and whatever. And then after you ladies answer the question, then he switched gears and asked me that question. So I think that's probably where he got lost in translation. I think he kind of left that question alone and then asked me something new.
Yeah, but I get where Chandra's going.
That's where you probably got confused at, though.
But
it's an important part, though, if you really think about it, what Chandra brought up, because when you're talking about just initially meeting somebody, You know, you want to have, that's why you have the conversation, right? Because somebody's dating standard that you're meeting, yours may be completely different. You know, you're operating from one space and they're operating from another space. It automatically starts to be a turn off there, and it could just be a lost in translation, you know, kind of thing.
Right.
All right. Good points. Good points. So, all right. Back to the ladies for a second. Ladies, you know, every guy that asks you out wants to sleep with you. Okay. Some guys may want more than that, but you can assume that sex is the motivation behind him even asking you out in the first place. He was attracted. So it's kind of up to you to convey to him what you want and to find out if he wants more than just sex from you, I guess. But ladies, where do you start with that? How and when do you establish that the two of you are looking, you know, for the same thing? How do you have that conversation? Is it something that you have to do early on, or do you do like a lot of people say these days, just go with the flow and vibe until it comes up organically?
I'm going to say, and you know, I'm not going to say a whole lot, but I'm going to say, I think there needs to be clear, intention should be laid out and be clear on the front end. I think that, you know, and then that way we don't have no misunderstanding, no confusion. If you were like, I'm trying to find out what's what, and I'm like, okay, I'm cool with that. I'm trying to find out what's what. And when that changes, I'll let you know. Okay. Then that's cool. But if I have an intention on wanting to be married and have kids at a certain time frame and you ain't looking like that or desiring that, then I need to know that, because I don't even need to waste time with that, because that's not, I'm not going to change your mind. Like, people kill me with, you know, he don't want kids, but girl, I could change his mind. It, you know, that's what he say right now. He don't want kids. Believe that. And so, to me, you lay out your intentions on the front end.
All right, ladies. T, Carrie, you all agree?
Yeah, I definitely agree. I also, though, just feel as though, and this could just be coming from the fact that I'm in a younger generation, but also back when I was kind of single and experiencing that, like, we're new and figuring out what's going on with us, I didn't have the level of self-esteem to do it the way that I can now say this is the way it should be done. So I would say, like, yes, I agree, let your intentions be known. And unfortunately, I had to suffer the consequences of not doing that up front, and also not identifying what his intentions were up front, because I just didn't have that level of self-esteem and self-confidence to ask those questions that were needed. So yeah, I think it's easier said than done, but at the end of the day, it's the better thing to do.
Okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Karen.
Go ahead. No, go ahead and read Nikki's comment.
Nikki said, we can't just go with the flow, especially if you are a certain age. If you're looking for long term, that needs to be stated on the front end. I don't want to waste your time, and I don't want mine wasted. And what were you going to say, Carrie?
So, you know, I think it's important to, and like T says, it's easier said than done. It takes practice, right? But it is important to state your intentions up front. But stating your intentions ain't gonna solve the problem, right? Because people could tell you anything. Exactly. And so you have to have the discernment too, right? And the insight to kind of, wait, did I lose you guys? Why is everybody frozen right now?
No, I got you.
No, yeah, you kind of have to develop a sense of discernment to one, know who you are and what you're willing to or ready to do. You know, and honestly, you know, a lot of times we give guys a bad rep and say, you know, the guys want to sleep with the woman. Sometimes a chick just want to sleep with you too. That's just the world we live in right now, right? So, you know, sometimes that's just what that woman may be looking for as well, and still playing games as well. So, unfortunately, you know, I think a lot of times we say men are, we have to express our intentions to men because their intentions are not necessarily good. Yes, they may want to have sex, and that may be the end of it. But I believe that where we are right now in society, you're seeing a shift in that as well. And women are out here doing the same thing. It's a different age for sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Really?
So, fellas.
Sorry. I just want to kind of comment on that, too. I think a big issue with society is that we tag the judgments to the fact that people are genuinely just looking for sexual experiences. I don't necessarily know that that's a bad thing if those intentions are established up front. I feel as though you absolutely should know yourself and identify that you are not a person that is looking for a relationship, and let that be known. And then if you do, are you really playing games? If you say up front, I'm not looking for a relationship, I am simply looking for someone who I can engage in these sexual experiences with, and then you find someone who's also looking for the same thing, is that bad? Is that negative? Is, are you still playing games? You know what I mean? I think we put too much of a judgment on that, which is what causes the stigma behind it, which creates people's kind of hesitance to acknowledge those things. I think if that's what it is, say that that's what it is and accept and honor that about yourself. I think that's more honorable than being like, people, I'm not going to be able to find that if I say that, so now I have to act like that's not really what my intentions are. I think that's where the games get played.
But if you go deeper than that too, T, think about it. I mean, women are not taught to express themselves sexually, you know, with sexual freedom in that aspect, right? So there are labels that come along with that. And like you talked about earlier, that kind of stuff damages self-esteem and self-worth over time. And so a lot of times, you know, we as women sometimes play games, especially when you're younger and, you know, you don't really know yourself at the time. We play games ourselves going to the table. Right? Because we are afraid to express what it is that we may truly want. Sometimes we just want to experience, but we don't know how to say that without some shame associated with it. Right? Or, so, you know, how is he going to look at me if I express that to him? So I think that's a great point, actually.
Right. And I agree. But I also think the conversation of, if you're just looking for sex, whether it's men or women, then you're playing games, or the, like, using the verbiage like, oh, you're not ready, or you're, you know, whatever verbiage ties a negative connotation to just wanting to engage in sexual relationships, contributes to people, both men and women, not feeling safe to acknowledge that about themselves and to be willing to express that about themselves. That's more so the part that I'm talking about. Like, I think as a society, we talk down about it, and then we are talking down to it, contributes to it continuing, if that makes sense.
But I think I agree, and I know I'm sure Q want to move on. I agree with you, T, but I think where that negative connotation come in is that someone expressed the intention of wanting a relationship with you, you saying you don't want, or you want a relationship too, when technically all you want is to have a sexual experience, and there's this disconnect. So yes, now the person who wanted a relationship is going to say that about people when after we've had these fights and fights and fights, and then it comes out, well, all I wanted was this. Yes, it's aligning those two, right? I think once we align those two, because there are women that just want to have sex, go find her. I ain't her. Go find her. You know, there are men who want a relationship. Go find him, because he ain't him, mm-hmm. right? And I think but the thing is when I talk about intentions, I think you need to walk away when that person clearly states to you, and people don't because of chemistry and sexual attraction and all of that. When he tell you or she tell you, I'm not looking for anything serious, and you be like, I'm going to show her I'm the best thing that ever came across her. You know how many times? Right. So, and you already saying like, dude, I'm not looking for anything. And he like, I'm gonna show you what a good man look like. I've never said I don't know what a good man look like. You just not the good, or I'm not looking for a good man right now. So, you know, but they think they can convince you, whether it's a male or female, they think they can convince you to change your mind. And it's like our intentions are misaligned. So mm-hmm. at that point, somebody has to have the personal courage to walk away and end it, but they don't.
That I 100% agree with. I just think as a whole, in general, society needs to be better at creating a safer space for people to announce their true intentions. I think that's where the issue
is. Okay, so
once we get better at that, then those intentions will probably be, one, explained more, and two, heard more, and people will be willing to acknowledge, this is what you're telling me, this is what you mean. If that's not what I want, I'm gonna keep it pushing and let you find what you want.
So to your point, the thing is that that's not society's responsibility, that's the individual's responsibility. So instead of trying to change a society as a whole, you have to vibe with the groups that you want to rock with. You get what I mean? Because society is going to be what it is, no matter the generation. You get what I mean? I think when individuals take their personal responsibilities, with themselves as far as how they want to carry themselves and walk in their own truth, they won't have to worry about what the rest of the world think, because they say, hey, look, I want to be a freak. I'm gonna find a freak. You get what I'm saying? I'm not going to walk a certain way and expect people to treat me a certain way because I'm presenting something different. You get what I mean? So society is always going to be out of line. Always. Go ahead, Q, man. My fault.
No, this is good. I just wish I had some popcorn. This is a good discussion. I think that, and that's, you know, the purpose of this show, to get people who have various opinions so everyone can give their perspective, you know? So I think this is really good. Good dialogue. But I will go on to the next question. There's a few more questions and we'll get ready to shut things down. So question number 8, I'll start with the fellas. And Buck, let me go to you. I haven't heard from you in a while, Buck. So Buck, you know, you date her a few times and the two of you agree that you're going to become exclusive. You're going to try to see where this thing goes long term. Okay. Something that I don't think a lot of guys really have in mind when they finally get the woman that they want is how they plan to keep her. So, I mean, how do you plan to keep the woman once you get her?
Keep doing the same things you've been doing. Sorry about that. Keep doing the things you've been doing that have been successful. You know, keep doing the things that, you know, make y'all happy. Keep doing the little things. A lot of times, a lot of people try to do big things and try to go up above and beyond. And really, you know, in the grand scheme of things, it's the little things that really kind of keep them around. And as long as you guys are doing the little things, those are the things that you actually remember. And if it's a long-term relationship, you grow old together and things of that nature, it's the little things that you're going to remember. It's not going to be so much of the big things. So as long as you continue to do the things that make you guys happy, that's the most important. So just keep doing what you've been doing, you know, maybe turn it up a little bit and, you know, just see where it goes. I mean, because, you know, if it's going to be long term, you're going to continue to do the things that's going to make you guys happy.
Okay. Seth, what do you think, man? How do you keep her once you get her?
Well, I would say one of the keys is listening to them, right? Instead of trying to necessarily love individuals the way you want to be loved, try loving them the way they want to be loved. Hmm. You get what I mean? And if you do that, then that means you're listening and you're showing a certain level of appreciation. And so, like my man was saying, you know, just stay consistent, right? But you are being willing to put someone first, you see? Every day, something a little bit here, but you're loving someone and instead of expecting them to love you a certain way, expecting you need to do this and you need to do this for me, if you just say to yourself, I need to do this for her. I need to do this for her. And then that's it. And if she can't dig it, it ain't the one. You know what I mean?
Okay. All right. And Quaylen in Georgia said communication and consideration. Mm-hmm. Nikki says what happens if people get comfortable and they think that they don't have to do that anymore.
Now that right there is the individual's fault, okay? Mm-hmm. By keeping the standard low enough for someone to step over, if that makes sense. So if it stays a certain level high enough, that person that wants to be with you are going to consistently and constantly reach for it. But if it's this low, all right, it's nothing. That's light work. You see? So I would say don't put an individual in a situation where they feel comfortable. That's all. Mm.
Dr. Willis, how do you keep
them? I agree with what the fellas said. You know, both gentlemen said, and I'll go a step further. I'll say that it's not only consistency, but you got to have a mixed bag. You got to mix it up because consistency is going to only get you so far, you know what I mean, before it becomes monotonous. So you got to be able to mix it up. And you don't have to be anything extravagant, you know what I'm saying? I always tell like the younger guys, you know, make loving your woman fun. You know what I'm saying? What can I do today? You know what I'm saying? And you know, make it fun for yourself. But in terms of the woman, I think that women love languages mostly, and you know, everybody's not the same, but the majority of women love languages affirmation. If you're affirming to that woman that you love her, that she's the only one you see, that right there is going to keep, kind of ease away her fears. Then you start planning dates. Then you do, you know what I'm saying, make it fun to save for a trip somewhere. You know what I mean? I mean, you know, it don't have to be, like I said, it don't have to be anything extravagant, because while you're waiting on that trip, you know, save up for that trip, you know, make a date at the park, picnic at the park or something, you know what I'm saying, in between, you know, just have a mixed bag, because you don't want the relationship to become stale and monotonous, you know what I'm saying, just doing the same old thing all the time, thinking that that's okay and that's enough, you know. And we don't want it to make it seem like a relationship is work either. You know what I mean? Like I said, all this stuff should be fun for you. It should be things that you want to do. You know, and I think that your lady will appreciate that more when you keep it, you know, when you keep her off balance and she don't know what's coming next. If you become predictable and she know, all right, well, he's going to come home and, you know, he's going to just plop on the couch and wait for me to give him dinner and stuff like that, you know. You know, that gets old real quick. You come home, you surprise her. You know what I'm saying? Baby, you sit down, let me get you dinner tonight. You know, something, just switch it up. You know,
Big Will, I will say one thing, though, just a caveat to what you said. I think it's important to be bilingual, meaning know your love language and love theirs, because I've never all the females that all have the same one, but you have to be willing to But like, oh wait, yours words of affirmation, mine is acts of kindness, or yours is, you get what I mean? But the thing is, we have to be willing to hear that we can have that conversation.
And you're saying exactly the same thing that I'm
saying. Right. But
I know hers.
Right. But the thing is I believe we can't expect them to all speak the same language.
Oh no, that's
ready. Right. So we got to be ready, to hear something different. Say, okay, I need to get smart on my my time, right? My quality time a little bit better, because that's how she wants to be loved. You see,
exactly. Mm-hmm. And that's where I had you know, come in with that disclaimer. You know what I'm saying? That it's not every woman's your love language. You got to learn your woman. You got to know your woman. But whatever her love language is, indulge in that. Listen, like you said, listen. And you know, and build on that. If you build on that, then I can't see how you're gonna go wrong.
All right. And I think all of you made some very good points. I think you made some very good points, and I agree with all of it, especially the listening part. But I also want to add that I think if you're in a serious relationship, you got to show her that she's secure in the relationship. And what I mean by that, not just her being exclusive, so to speak, but also you got to make sure that, you know, you can try to secure her as far as she's not going to have to struggle. I mean, we know life happens, but you got to work hard to try to make sure that doesn't happen. Try to be prepared, you know, think ahead, you know, have life insurance, you know, that's important.
Man, listen, look, you're talking about financial security, man, and I can dig it, but I think not majority, because I don't want to throw that, but, there's some men that can be financially secure, but they're physically and mentally insecure. So they can't keep that woman because they have not yet got to the point of maturity yet to know how to and or even want to. You get what I'm saying?
So, I mean, I get that. I mean, this is assuming that they're doing the things that you all mentioned as well.
Right on.
You know, but you're spot on about that. Mm-hmm. But I just think that that's just important, too, because there's some people who they know how to get women. They know how to maybe hang on to them for a little bit, but it's like, where are you going? You know, are you going to have to move in with her, or are you not have a job, or, you know what I'm saying? Have something in mind. Do you want kids? How are you going to take care of them? You know, if you have kids or she has kids, how are you going to take care of them? I just think you got to have something in mind before you just jump into it. All right. Because if you're a guy, and you're dating a woman and she has three kids, at some points those are going to be your kids. All right. You know, so how are you going to take care of them? You know, And so I just think that you have to really put some thought into certain situations, so to speak. But I mean, to the ladies, what about, let me go back to the chat room for a second. I'm going to ask the ladies as far as keeping a man. And she says, my great aunt and uncle just celebrated 60 years. Good Lord, it's a long time. He still opens the door for her. He still pulls out a chair. She still makes coffee for him in the morning. She still has his robe ready after church. Okay. So they're just doing what they've been doing. And Lana in Florida agrees with Seth, the spot on Seth. And so, but ladies, I mean, is it pretty much the same thing for you all when it comes to men, listening, communicating, all that stuff the guys said, love languages?
Essentially, I don't know that it's fair to identify that there's any like specific traits that will keep every man, but I think that's why the listening and the communication is so important, is because every individual is going to be different. And if the goal is long-term, you also have to be like willing to accept that that individual is going to be different over the years. Hopefully, you would hope that they would grow and develop over the course of the year. So being willing to adjust and shift and, you know, be flexible and be patient and learn and grow constantly throughout the relationship in order to be able to still meet their needs.
Okay. Carrie, Chandra, anything y'all want to add?
Yeah, so, you know, T hit it on the head. That's the word I was going to use and say flexibility. I hope that the person I'm dating now is not the same person in 10 years, you know, so they're going to grow. And I hope that I'm vulnerable enough and humble enough to grow with them. You see, because a lot of times we stay together and we've been doing the same things we've been doing. And the relationship doesn't work because one person outpaces the other. That's where that communication comes in, right? You have to be able to pull that person into your plan, into your vision, you know, especially on a from a female standpoint, in my mind, you know, in a traditional heterosexual relationship, a lot of times we put the pressure, the burden on the man to develop this vision and these plans that we're supposed to follow suit. And unfortunately, that doesn't necessarily work for everybody anymore. And so you have to have those conversations. You have to know your partner. You have to know what works for that person, what doesn't work for that person. And it takes consistent communication. You know, I don't know if you guys have ever been in any type of long-term relationship. I heard, I think Dr. Will said earlier, like, relationships shouldn't be work, but they are. Right. And I feel like it requires a certain level of work, because if I have a 401k option, or I have a garden, or I have a, you know what I mean? We spend an hour and a half getting the right outfit ready to do something special. Relationships are work. Anything that you invest your time in, you're going to get the payoff. And unfortunately, I think my experience is a lot of times men says, oh, it should be fun and easy. It's not. It's constant development. You know what I mean? It shouldn't be painful. You know what I'm saying? All work ain't got to be painful, but it definitely requires work, because it takes a concentrated, deliberate effort, I think, to make it work long term.
All right.
I wanted to add, if I can, Q. Absolutely. I think what Seth said, well, I think what each of the gentlemen said were really key. And I wrote down some, because these are things when I did marriage counseling that I definitely talked about. That consistency, putting, and the one that I really wanted to hone in on was putting that person first. And that's where I feel like many people fail, that we don't understand what that means to put someone first. It doesn't mean that, you know, I have to starve so that you can eat, but it means you are in my thoughts when I make decisions, or I don't make a decision without you being a part of that. And many people don't do that. They only look at what I want, right? And so they don't know how to put people first, because a lot of times they have never been put first, you know, as a child and things of that nature. So they don't know how to put someone first because they've never been put first. But that is key. If you're talking about keeping a marriage together or a relationship, sorry, I went back to an old life. But, you know, it's about putting that person first, meaning whatever, how is this going to affect us? How is this going to affect the unit? How is this going to affect the kids? How is this going to affect what we're trying to build? And if I can't have that thought in mind when I'm making decisions, when I'm moving through my day, and how I want to make your life easier, how I want, you know, us to grow, if you're not a part of my thought when I'm making decisions, then it's already going to be set up for failure.
Mm. I'm loving that.
And you know what, Q, if I can add just something real small, man, I think that is so important is when you want to have a long-lasting relationship, be willing, especially for the brothers out there, be willing to push yourself to communicate tangible goals. You get what I mean? Just instead of just saying shit, you know, put something on paper and say, together, this is what we can do, right? And then see if they can dig it, right? If they can, cool. But something that is realistic, right? But that you can really see that if both of you put effort in, you both can become debt-free together. You both can be happy together. Hey, you both can do that, you know, that fitness plan together. You get what I mean? It's something mm-hmm. that's tangible and saying, I love you so much, I'm willing to help change your life. Or I love you so much, I'm willing to do the things that I probably wouldn't have wanted to do, but because of you, I'm willing to do that, right? But be able to push yourself for that other person. I think that can help.
Hey, Q, let me say this. And so Seth made a very good point, and Chandra hit the nail on the head. And I think what they're saying, one thing we probably didn't mention in here was like that constant forgiveness. See, because what happens is we're operating from a pace of hurt. So well, I don't feel like you did this for me, or you're not putting in as much work, so I'm not either. And when you consistently operate from that place, you're always going to just start stepping backwards. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so it takes constant forgiving, because relationships also come with problems. And if you're really committed to this person and to this union, whatever that union may be, you have to decide for yourself, okay, when am I going to let go, forgive, and truly move on? If you hold on to those hurt feelings or those things that happen, it's just done right there. You know, you could be together for a long time. You see a lot of people in these long-term relationships that are super unhappy because they're building up from all the past hurts that has happened before, and they're re-traumatizing themselves and their partner every day in that relationship.
And I'm going to jump in. I'm going to say, go on a limb. It may not be a popular opinion, but I still say that we need to eradicate the idea that being in a relationship is work. Anytime you're moving, you're doing work. Anytime you're spending energy, you're doing work. So we need to eradicate that doing something that'll make my partner feel good is work. All right. Because as long as you got that mindset, you know what I'm saying? There's gonna come a time when, you know, resentment and things like that start to creep in, which leads to arguments, which leads to, you know, end of a relationship and things like that. If me getting up, taking the trash out, which is my responsibility or one of our responsibilities, doesn't matter. But if we're looking at it as work instead of, you know, a responsibility that needs to be done, you know, say, I mean, just thinking of it in just a small difference like that.
It's word association. That's all.
Right. But word association is very important.
Yeah. Right. Like going to the gym, I'm working out. You dig what I'm saying? Right.
You're working out, but right. if you
yeah, but I
you don't want to go to the gym.
I think it works.
You know what I'm saying? You're not going to get up and go. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, but if you think in terms of, hey, I need to be healthier. You know, I need to be, you know what I'm saying? I need to be, you know, I need to feel good about myself. And guess what? Saying that instead of going to work out is going to get you to the gym. See what I'm saying? So it's, I know it's words, you know what I'm saying? But sometimes words does matter, you know what I mean? I would never look at
it does matter. I mean, I look at it like this. You got to make it fun. Everything should be fun in a relationship where you can have, you know, joy and laughter and have fun with it and make it memorable. You know, I wouldn't necessarily call it, I wouldn't call relationship being work. It's got to be fun. You got to be enjoyable. I mean, it could be something simple. Yeah, taking out trash. Like, I'm going to use what your analogy here. Taking out trash is maybe a responsibility, but what if we make it fun when we're taking out the trash? You know, maybe I'm, you know, going taking out the trash, and I'm going and, you know, say something silly or something while I'm taking out the trash to make it fun and enjoyable. You know, something to make it other than just a chore. You know,
but everything
wash the dishes. You might want to throw a little water in your hand. Well, we got that's the thing, because we live in a society where stuff is not fun.
And that's the thing. And if we
Well, I understand what you're trying to say, and I get what both of you are saying. And I think that, you know, whether you say invest time and invest effort, or you say it's work or whatever, there's a lot of energy. There is a sharing of energy that has to happen, right? And so whether you want to call it work, whether you want to call it fun, but the moment you think that it's only supposed to be fun, because we're talking about a mindset now, then the moment that it stopped being fun, then I get to exit because I'm no longer fun. And that right there is like, what did we build all this for? If the only thing, and then when it's only fun, then how do I express to you that you hurt me in a way that ain't fun?
Right.
How do I make that fun?
I'm not personally looking at it in terms of fun and things like that. You know what I'm saying? For me, it's more about thinking positive. You know what I'm saying? Changing the mindset of things, because here's the thing though. You know, like I said in the beginning, if you're thinking of it as work, now you're putting yourself in a mood. You know what I'm saying? Me getting up, you know what I'm saying, trying 3 or 4 different outfits to go to an event with you, you know what I'm saying? If I think about, oh man, here we go, that's gonna be work, I'm gonna have a mood behind that. But if I'm like, you know what, I want to match a fly or something like that, you know, change how I think about it. I'm gonna try on every outfit that I possibly can that's gonna look good with you, that's gonna compliment you. And I'm not gonna think twice about it. Yeah, it's gonna be work because we're spending energy. So I'm not looking at work in terms of energy, in terms of, you know, you gotta put forth an effort and things like that. I'm saying that it should never be looked at as work. If you love that person, it's never work. You know, I'll give you one thing and I'll let you speak. It's like a person on a job. Yeah. A person that enjoys what they do would never consider their job work.
No, wait, but at the same time, they get a chance to benefit from the fruits of their labor.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. You know what I mean? So the fact that you're putting in that time, however, if you're happy or not, into someone else outside of you, you're enjoying the fruit by looking at their face. But you're seeing their appreciation.
Exactly.
Other than that, your ass would have been yourself. You know, happy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I think it's how we define the word, right? Work doesn't necessarily mean something negative. And so, like Chandra said, you can relabel it effort. Okay, relationship requires effort, you know, if you don't want to call it work. So, you know, nothing against you, Dr. Will. I've heard other guys say this to me specifically before, like a relationship should be fun. You see, that's when the relationship is going well. The work and the effort really comes in when it's not going well, or to maintain it, to not, you know, to not go bad, or to repair it once it's gone that way. And so if you only expect it to be fun all the time and to be up all the time, the moment it's not fun, it's going to become distasteful.
Yeah, but I would never say that. I never say it's fun all the time.
No, we know it's not. No, I'm not saying you said that. What I'm saying, just for anyone out there listening, I think for me, that's why I don't just focus on just the fun aspect. And that's why I said work doesn't, to me, the effort you put in a relationship doesn't have to be painful, right? But it does require a focused effort. It's not winging it for me. I have to wake up and consider this person. I have to do things that I may not want to do or like to do, and he's going to do the same. That requires me to step way outside of me sometimes. You know what I mean? Like, I got to go watch the Super Bowl game. I don't want to go watch the game, but I'm going to go watch it because that's what that person wants to do, and make a bomb meal to go with it, just because that's supporting your person. And I'm pretty sure when I want to do something, he's going to have to get dressed up and put on a tie and go do something for me that he may not want to do. It's effort, you know, it's mutual though.
I feel like the key is like, since we're using the term work and the term job, right? I think the goal is to take a relationship from being a job and turn it into what most people would think of when they hear the term career, right? When you start your own career, regardless of what that is, there are going to be things, even when it's going well. For example, right now, Quentin and I are selling the gift baskets like he sold you guys last week. The orders were coming in, and it's work, but it's only work because it's busy and because it's going well. So sometimes even that takes a lot of effort, even that takes a lot of work. But at the end of the day, it's like the fruit that comes out of it, which I think is what Seth said, is what makes it worth it, right? Whether it's going good, whether it's going bad, if you have the goal in mind or the plan, such as the episode, in mind, and you already know what the point is that you're trying to get out of it or what fruit you're supposed to be getting from the work that you're putting in, it makes it a lot easier regardless of what phase you're in.
And hold on, let's not forget this too. Make sure you're not planting the wrong seed expecting a different fruit. Then it becomes work. You dig? Now you
that part. That's what I was gonna say, man.
And look, you're watering shit, and you're like, wait a minute, I'm getting watermelons. You fool, and you expecting bananas. You get what I'm saying? So why you keep doing the same thing? You feel me? So
that's when you have misaligned goals and misaligned intentions. I think I want a relationship to be fun too, or not painful, or not work. I want all of that too. But the key is if we don't lay a foundation, and that's talking about our values, our beliefs, what our drives are, what the foundation is on the beginning, and really understand each other. Like that's an assignment. Like that is real talk. Talk about what are your core values? What are your, you know, world views? Like what are those big things? Because you know what? You guys, you could be having fun all day long. And it's not anything between the two of you, a hurricane can hit. And guess what? How you guys manage stress and destruction can be totally different. And it had nothing to do with the fun you was having in the relationship. It's an external thing that will destroy your relationship because you weren't prepared, because you didn't talk about the tough stuff on the front end.
And
pandemic.
And yes, absolutely right. And one other thing I will say too, it kind of goes back to Carrie's point, though. Sometimes we are willing, and I think it was Chandra, I'm sorry, we want to change the fruit of other individuals because we want to work to try to make them something to something that they're not. You get what I mean? Then it really becomes work. And here you are trying to, you know, burn calories, trying to change somebody's life when they don't want to be changed. Right. You know what I'm saying? They just want to be loved and appreciated. You see, but that's all I got. What you got?
But that's that job you want to quit at that point, right? That's the job you hate to go to every day.
Yeah, you be dreading. Right. We sorry, Q. We appreciate you.
Took over the show. It's gonna be a 2-hour show.
I'm enjoying it.
We sorry, but we appreciate the fans for tolerating us. We do.
Then you're filing for unemployment or in the military. One of the two.
Right. You ain't got no other choice. It's for a planet.
Oh man. And Harris chimed in. He said balance.
That's hilarious.
Fun and work, joy and pain. Lana said, I think everyone is on the same page, just some don't want to use the word work. It's about how to continue on when something intense comes up that's unexpected.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I want to clarify, it is a little deeper than the word work, though. I think it's a whole mindset. I heard everybody's opinion on that. I'm gonna agree to disagree on this one. I think though that if you change the word, that's just the word. You also have to change the mindset. Let's use love. I mean, sometimes you're gonna be happy, you're gonna have to do things that you just don't want to do in a relationship. That requires love. I love this woman or I love this man so much that I'm willing to do this. You know what I'm saying? That ain't work. That's just love. But when you come from a love mindset, then it will work. I think it'll last longer. But when you come from a work mindset, then that's exactly what it is, work.
I can come from a deficit mindset, then it feels like I'm working to get to the end goal or, you know, that prize at the
but
end.
You don't work the deficit,
I come from a gratitude mindset, then none of this becomes, you know, it doesn't feel like anything other than I can dig it. I can see both points of view. I think that it does have to be a mindset shift, but it also has to be in behavior.
Right. So let me ask you this though, Chandra, because I think you hit right. You just said elegantly what I was trying to say. So let's say the mindset is work, right? If you're saying I got to work on this or we got to work on that, you're speaking from a deficit.
Yeah.
But if you say, hey, I love this person enough to do this, even though I don't want to, now that takes on a whole new meaning. And now it makes you want to do those things more so than, okay, it's work. You speak from a deficit. I don't want to do it. chances are you probably ain't gonna do it, you know what I'm saying? Or it's gonna lead to an argument.
And then, Will, you know, the other part is, to your point, you either working on something or working in something. You know what I'm saying? So you're working on it or you're working in it. Like, for example, if I'm in a relationship that I see is worthy of it, I'm a natural hustler. So I'm going to do whatever I got to do because I'm hustling for what I want. You get what I'm saying? In it versus now I'm behind and I'm working to get to where I want to be.
Let's hustle on that relationship. You just work. You know what I'm saying? I mean, like I said, work comes with a whole other construct, a whole other mindset, whole other whatever. You know what I'm saying? Like I love that word challenge is just a deficit. You know what I'm saying? But hustling is not a deficit. If you think about it in street terms or whatever terms, hustling means you have to get it. That, you know, you're adding to, you're doing what it takes. That's a whole lot different from the word work and the mindset of work. I know y'all don't see it right now, but just think on it.
Hey, you know what it is? Hey, he will make us get his point.
All right, Dr. Love, we go back down for a moment. You know, right. I don't think you can really change all our mindset we all saying the same thing, just using different words. But I do agree, when you work from a mindset of deficit versus gratitude, your energy is very different. And so I can appreciate that. So I'm done.
Can I say?
Well, let me go ahead and jump in here. Cause y'all talking about work. I got to go to work tomorrow. Now, this has been a great conversation. The chat room is really booming. Everyone's really enjoying this. And I think it's been an awesome discussion. I really appreciate it. I do have one last quick question, though. One last quick question. And this is for whoever wants to answer, especially those who have kids. You know, we're talking about having a plan when it comes to dating. When you let the person you're dating meet your kids, okay, whether it's he or she, how do you decide when someone is ready to meet your kids?
When they're apparent material.
I'm going to say when they're comfortable, only because you can wait. You know, the person you're dealing with is going to show you a representative until they're ready to show you their real selves. So there's no right or wrong answer. I mean, I probably wouldn't do it the first day I meet you or something, you know what I'm saying? But I would actually say that, you know, when you're at the point where you feel like you're comfortable and safe with this person you're dealing with, all right? But like I said, though, I know some people who've been dating for 6-7 months and haven't introduced their kids. And then as soon as they do, you know, you hear stories about, you know what I'm saying, you know, honey taking your child out to a store and slapping them around or throwing them down the mall or something, you know what I'm saying? But I mean, you know, you'll never know a person's true intention until they're clear to you. So that's a hard question to answer, but you have to be comfortable with yourself to allow somebody to see your kids. And that could take on any time frame, I guess. Preferably longer than a month or so into it, but you know, you never know.
This might be contrary to popular opinion, but personally, I just always believe that it's beneficial to have a genuine platonic friendship with someone prior to entering into a romantic relationship with them. And I think even more so if you have children, because that lessens this like idea or this notion of I'm just bringing my kids around the next person and then the next person and then the next person when you're jumping into these relationships with people that you genuinely don't really know. So I think if you're building friendships with these people, one, it kind of takes away that whole need to put on a mask, and so it lessens the amount of time that it takes to actually get to know that person. And then two, whether things work out with you romantically or not, that's not like your romantic relationship with that child your romantic relationship with that person has less of an impact on their relationship with the child. Because at the end of the day, if you're building a friend, people bring their friends around their children all the time. And then that kind of gives you a way to like know like, oh, okay, like this is how they interact with my kids. This is how their relationship is kind of developing. And that can kind of be a benefit to whether or not you want to move forward with a romantic relationship, if that makes sense.
And Q, I think it depends on if they have children or not already. You get what I'm saying? Because you can kind of watch and see how they handle theirs and kind of gauge like, yeah, okay, cool, I can see that. I'm like, wait a minute, nope, that ain't it. You know what I'm saying? So I think it depends.
Okay. D chimed in the chat room and said, once I'm comfortable with that person, unless it's a friend to boyfriend relationship, then they probably already met your kid. But say someone off of a dating app, I definitely need to be comfortable. All right. Good stuff. So I'll go ahead and get ready to wrap things up. And next Tuesday, well, this is great. I hope next week is just as good. Next Tuesday, we'll discuss why some people seem to dwell in the past when it comes to relationships. Why can't I leave my ex alone? That's on Tuesday, February the 15th at 7:30 p.m. Central Time here on the Talk to Q Radio Show. No experts, just opinions. You can inbox me on social media or email me at talktoqnow@gmail.com if you wish to RSVP for that show. And I think I already have like three people who have RSVP'd already. So, all right. So we'll get to final thoughts. And I want to go ahead and do this giveaway. Because, like I said, everyone in the chat room has been great. So let me go ahead and do this giveaway for this Cash App. And let's see. Everyone should be able to see the screen here. So here we go. This is for everyone who commented in the chat room this evening. Quaylen. All right. Quaylen, are you there? You got to be present to win. So I'm going to need you to comment in the chat room. Let me know that you're there. Or if not, I'm going to have to draw another name.
Right.
So Quaylen, I give you a moment. Okay. So like I said, next week, we have why can't I leave my ex alone? Also, I have another giveaway for the 11th birthday show on February the 20th, which is a Sunday actually. And you can win some exclusive artwork for that. So you can win that exclusive piece of art from the new Renaissance Studios simply by participating in the chat room on that special Sunday edition of the Talk to Q Radio Show celebrating 11 years on the air. And Quaylen said, run me my money. All right, bro. So inbox me on Facebook with your Cash App, man, and I'll send that over to you. Congratulations. And Nikki won last week. She said she enjoyed her lunch. And so, all right, final thoughts, and we'll try to make this quick. I don't want to keep everyone. I definitely appreciate all of your contributions to tonight's show. So we'll wrap up with our final thoughts. And Buck, I'll start with you, man. Go ahead and lay it down with your final thoughts.
And this is a really good show. I mean, everybody have really good points tonight. And, you know, coming from so many different backgrounds, it was just really awesome to hear. When it comes to relationships, there needs to be a level of consistency. There needs to be a lot of communication. And there needs to be a lot of listening. I think we touched on all of those tonight. They're very important. If you keep a level of consistency, I think it helps. But you also need to keep it fresh. And that way your relationship stays strong. You need to build, you know, a really good foundation. Take your time with it at first when you're getting to know somebody. Build a good, solid foundation. So when you start off in that mindset, things typically go well. You know, take what you're listening like and – you know, apply it to your particular situation. I think when you do those things, I mean, you heard so much good content tonight. I think, you know, people can really draw off this and really can be able to apply it, you know, in their own situations, in their own ways. So great show tonight, and everybody enjoy the rest of your week.
I appreciate that, sir. Thank you very much. Dr. Willis, what you got, man?
All right, a couple of comments. One thing we didn't touch on is that the very first thing you should consider before you start dating is if you can afford to date. You don't always have to spend money and things like that, but it still costs to date. All right. So that should be the first thing, actually. The second thing I wanted to talk about is, you know, if you understand where relationships are going on a macro level, then it can help you on the micro level. And I say that because, you know, we just the last 20 years, we just moved from what I call the instant gratification phase of relationships and dating to now we entered into this phase where I like to call the assembly line. You know, as long as everything is good, you stay on that belt. But when things go wrong, then guess what? You get ejected and it's on to the next person. So if you understand what phase we're in right now, it'll help a little bit to combat, you know, at the micro level. And I think that's why a lot of relationships, you know what I'm saying, are the way they are right now, because we are in that particular phase. And let me see, there was one other point I wanted to make, and I'm drawing a brain fart right now. But
it's all good.
I will say that, just to keep it short, I enjoyed conversing with each and every one of you guys. You know, I hope to get back on as a regular, like I, you know, was back in the past. So, you know, freeing up my schedule now to do that. So hope to enjoy you guys next week and many more weeks to come.
All right. I appreciate you, man. And Chandra, what you got? You're on mute.
So
there you go.
Yeah. One of the things that I always talk about is we build our house upside down. And, you know, a house, you know, can't withstand that kind of pressure. So if you build your house right side up, you know, then creating a foundation, putting the right pillars in, then it can withstand anything. But when you build it on sex and fun and all of those, the roof, right, the icing on the top, then it's liable to cave in on itself. And so if we build our house the right way, it stands a greater chance of withstanding any storm. And so that's just my thought. And I enjoy being on the show with everybody. You guys are awesome. So
thank you very much. And Carrie, what you got?
Yeah, I don't have much. Hey, Q, thanks for having me on the show. Great time. Great conversation as always. Tonight was definitely really good. Honestly, for me, I say slow and steady wins the race. You know, no need to rush this thing. Take your time. Get to know yourself. Both parties get to know yourselves first before you start dating. Understand what you value and what your values are, and have that constant communication and flexibility. And then I think you'll be all right.
Thank you very much. T, final thoughts, please, ma'am.
I think the title of the show is just be added upon. So yes, have a plan, but know the plan, share the plan, and then just build the plan. At the end of the day, that's what matters. Be willing to pivot when necessary, but if you always go back to what the plan is or the end goal, then you should be okay.
All right. Okay, and let's see. Last but not least, go to Seth. What you got, man?
Yo, first, again, man, thank you. Thank you so much for giving me this opportunity, and everybody else. Y'all super, super dope, right? Great conversation. Keep it real quick, especially since it's February. Look, y'all, black love is as real as you make it. Period. That's it.
Mm. Okay. Well, look, I appreciate all of you. And Nikki, I agree. I think the panel is great. This has been a great show. This is something I'm probably going to turn around and listen to tomorrow right off the bat, because I think some of the things you all discussed tonight can be topic for future shows. So, yeah, I really enjoyed the discussion. That's why I kind of just laid back in the cut, sipped on my water over here, and soaked it all in. But I want to thank everyone for checking out this episode of the Talk to Q Radio Show. Stay tuned for future shows, because I have more giveaways coming up. I'm giving away more cash to a lucky chat room participant next week. And I'll be giving away that one-of-a-kind painting courtesy of New Renaissance on Sunday, February the 20th at 2 p.m. Eastern. And you must be present in the chat room to win any of these prizes. Follow me on TikTok at TalkToQ Now. You can follow me on YouTube and everything else, social media at TalkToQ. So I hope that you all enjoy the rest of your week. You've been watching the Talk to Q Radio Show. Peace out.